Hello, my name is Father Alejandro Puello, and this is my reflection for the Feast of the Transfiguration that we will be celebrating this Sunday, August the 6th, 2023. We read the account of the Transfiguration from the Gospel of Matthew, and strangely enough, we eat three little words at the beginning of the reading. For whatever reason, we don't include the first three words of that first verse, which are, after 6 days. We get all caught up in Peter, James, and John going up the mountain, seeing Jesus transfigured, seeing Jesus talk to Moses and Elijah, and seeing the cloud come over them. And in order to understand what's really going on here, we have to put it into context. This is why I always say, when you're coming to Mass, you should read the reading that's come. You should read what comes after the reading and what happens before the reading. So, we read the feast. We read the Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 9. Conveniently, we eat the after 6 days, which begs the question, well, what happened 6 days ago? And if you had your Bible with you, you'd turn the page back and you would realize that a lot of things happen on chapter 16. The first of those is that Peter confesses to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then as soon as Jesus tells them, "You got it, buddy. You understand. And this is what it's going to take this is what it means to be the Messiah. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to rise." And Peter, who has just been told that he is going to be the rock upon which Jesus will build his church, gets in the way and gets rebuked by Jesus. 1 second, he is being told, "You are no longer Simon, you are Peter, and here are the keys to the kingdom of heaven." And then a few seconds later, he is being told, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You're not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." So this is what happened 6 days ago, and it's followed by a curious and appropriate response from the Lord after this interaction with Peter. He says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Now, in that context, we should read what really happens. 6 days after that, Jesus takes that same Peter up the mountain with James and John, and there he reveals his glory to them. He shows them his power, and Peter has a reaction that at face value looks like a beautiful, good thing. What does Peter say? He says, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here." For who? Is it for him and James and John to stay and watch and participate? Nope. No, 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 no. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then, as soon as the cloud rolls over them, and they hear that fateful message, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, listen to him." As soon as that cloud casts a shadow over them, they realize, we are not merely spectators in this, we're participants. Oh no! You see, this is what happens to a lot of us. We have an experience of the Lord, we go to church, we pray, we do all of the things that put us in the right position. Heck, we even recognize the Lord as Messiah, as our Savior. And then we're told that, okay, you're part of the plan of salvation. You're part of God's plan for salvation, not just for yourself, but for the whole of the world. And you have a role to play. You have a mission to play. But we're happy to stand back. You see, Peter, he'll gladly take the keys so long as he doesn't have to put him in any door. He'll gladly be the rock so long as nothing gets built on top of him. He is more than happy to be a spectator, to follow the Lord so long as the Lord is at the center of the action. But as soon as God casts his shadow over him and makes him realize that he is not a spectator. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You cannot be on the sidelines. You are either in the middle of the action or you're out of it. What happens then? Then it says, when the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and they were very much afraid. And I'm going to translate into common English what it actually says in Greek. It says, and they were very terrified. In plain English, they were pooping their pants. Because this is what happens to us. We're happy to be spectators of the Christian life. We're happy to be fans of the Lord. We're happy to go and attend the game. We're happy to stay at the periphery of the action. We're happy to even take a souvenir every once in a while, like a fan attending a ball game. But the problem is that the Lord does not call us to be spectators. Christianity is a full contact sport. It is a full contact sport. Because remember, 6 days ago, what did he just finish saying? Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And we lead lives of prayer and charity that are completely safe. We take no risks. We're happy to be spectators of the Christian life rather than getting our hands dirty. We're happy to say, my church feeds the hungry. Well, somebody in my church does, not me. I just write a check for it. Somebody in my church is filled with people that are involved. I just go and support by showing up to the event. Some of us are on the other side of the spectrum. We're on the other side of the spectrum where we say, well, my church provides for people. I just don't help my church provide. And I'm happy with that. I'm happy to be part of the team. I celebrate the victories and excuse myself from the losses. Why would I? You know, I need that money for me. I won't contribute time, effort, energy, access, vulnerability, prayer. Those I will invest in my interest, in the things that worry me. So you see, Peter, James, and John, they realize, man, we were happy to spectate. We were happy to build tents for Jesus and Moses and Elijah to do their own thing so that we could stay at a distance. We can watch them. We can watch them. But we don't want to necessarily participate. And so my challenge to us in this feast is, have I just been a spectator to the spiritual life? To Christianity? Am I happy to belong to the team? Do I wear the uniform but never play the game? If I have taken no risks in my charity, in my love, in my forgiveness, in my commitment, in my prayer, if I am just content to observe from afar, minimal effort, minimal commitment, can I say that I truly and honestly fulfill what seems to be the heart of true discipleship? Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, how exactly are we losing ourselves in love, losing ourselves in charity, losing ourselves in prayer, losing ourselves in adoration, losing ourselves in devotion, losing ourselves in care and love of others? How are we finding ourselves by losing ourselves if our spirituality is one that is happy to observe but not participate? That is my challenge to you. Am I an observer of the spiritual life, or am I a participant of it? Have I been content to be a fan of the team, or do I belong to the team? God bless.